The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Well, welcome to Bethel this morning. We're glad that you're here. If this is your first time visiting with us, we're really glad to have you. If you're first time viewing us online, welcome. Our desire is to help you connect to God. And today, we don't have really any announcements, so I'm just going to go get started right into my message. But we're going to be talking again this morning about fighting the good fight. We have been talking about Ephesians 6:12 and different aspects of Ephesians. And the purpose of this study is for us to be equipped for spiritual battle, because there is a spiritual war going on all around us. We're fighting a good fight, and we need to remember that as believers in Jesus Christ, we want to fight this good fight. We want to stay in the battle. We want to stay engaged, and we've been talking about several things in regards to fighting the good fight in our warfare. And speaking of fighting, I really have a confession to make. Before coming to church this morning, Tammy and I had a knockdown, drag-out fight. And, I mean, it was horrible. Yeah, it was brutal. Pots and pans and dishes, you know, flying all over the place. But I'm happy to tell you, she came crawling to me on her hands and knees. Yes, she did. And she said, "Come out from under that bed and fight like a man." Oh, gosh. Yeah, well, I don't think we've ever had a fight like that. We do disagree, of course, from time to time, and as we all do, but we're talking about spiritual warfare, not physical fighting. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And Ephesians tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're fighting against supernatural powers in the heavenly realm, in a different dimension than we live in. But they're just as real as we are. They operate, and that is the truth. They are. There is something more tangible about that supernatural realm, although we can't see it. It's there. It's real. And the battle's going on. And we must recognize the importance of our position as believers in Jesus Christ. We have a very, very important job to do in fighting the good fight here in the physical realm, but from a supernatural or spiritual perspective. Hold on for just a moment. Let me get this, my timer going here. I want to time myself this morning. I don't like going over too much. I realize that sometimes my messages, I try to keep my messages between 35 and 40 minutes. Sometimes I go over that. And, you know, I don't want to get too long, too drawn out. I'd rather keep people wanting more than saying, "Boy, I wish they'd get this over with." Amen? You know? So as I talk about these things, I want it to be interesting for you. And I realize I have limitations on my skills and ability, but I try to hone them to the best of my ability. But this is a very, very important topic. So listen closely to what we're talking about. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." So we talked about, the first thing we talked about was a proper battle stance. And our battle stance is one of victory. We've already won. We've won the battle because Jesus won the battle for us. Amen?
Yes, sir. Yes,
He did it all. All we have to do is stand. He says, stand therefore. So all we have to do is stand. So our proper battle stance is victory. Number two point that I made was we must engage the enemy. The enemy is the spiritual forces, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the real enemy. It's not flesh and blood, although the enemy uses flesh and blood. But we do not warfare according to the flesh. We do war in the spirit. And in the spirit realm, there is power. We're in a fierce battle. We're in a battle for the souls of our family, our friends, our neighbors. We're in a fierce battle for the souls of people all over the world. I have mentioned to you a time or two about the Great Reset that they've been talking about. I've mentioned a few times from this pulpit. The Great Reset is a plan that has been formulated by a man by the name of Klaus Schwab. And you can find out more about him and the Great Reset on weforum.org. But and he's a really creepy dude. He's a German, and he is a strange character. But he's been promoting the Great Reset through his World Economic Forum since 1970s. And on their website, they make a lot of different statements. But one of the things that they desire to bring about in the Great Reset is a new world order. The Great Reset is a new term for a new world order. It's part of the United Nations Agenda 2030 and the Green New Deal. They make statements that by 2030, you will own nothing but be happy. I don't like statements like that. You will own nothing but be happy. They also say the United States will not be a superpower, and the world will be dominated by a handful of countries. I don't know who those countries are, but the Bible predicts a 10-nation confederacy ruled by the Antichrist. Now, is this the new world order or the world government the Bible predicts? I don't know. I have no idea, and I'm not going to try to tell you that it is. But I do know the things that they're saying on this site, and if you'll go look at this, be informed, you will find out that the things that they're promoting is not new at all. It's socialism, communism, fascism. It's a way to rule and reign and control people, the people of the world. I don't like things like that, because it will limit our religious freedoms. In fact, it's the world's attempt to replace the kingdom of God and make their kingdom here on the earth. It's the kingdom that Jesus is going to come back and say, the kings of this world are now my kingdom. But the world makes these attempts, and the world's going to continue to make these attempts. That's why we can bask and rest in what Dot said this morning, the presence of our God, our Father. He's got our back. Now, I'm not telling you these things to scare you this morning. I'm telling you these things because I want you to look up, because our redemption draws near. It's coming. Jesus is coming back, and if we have we have faith and belief that Jesus Christ is coming to this earth, and Jesus Christ is coming for his people, hallelujah. The things that we see happening in this world tells us that it's getting closer and closer and closer. Now, let me share something with you, though, that I have noticed. And that is, with the COVID-19 crisis, it seems that they have used this opportunity to escalate the process of the Great Reset or the New World Order. Here's what they say on their website. There are many reasons to pursue a Great Reset, but the most urgent is COVID-19. Having already led to hundreds of thousands of deaths, the pandemic represents one of the world's public health crises in recent history. And with casualties still mounting in many parts of the world, it is far from over. So it looks like they're capitalizing on this as a possibility to escalate their time frame. To let you know just how close we are to coming to all this stuff coming to pass, or their efforts. Now, you know, whether they'll be successful or not, I'm not going to try to predict that. I'm just telling you that they're making this effort. To show you just how close we are, their slogan is Build Back Better. Now, that sounds real familiar to me, doesn't it, to you? Build Back Better, it's the same slogan that Joe Biden's campaigned under, Build Back Better. This is not a political statement. I'm just trying to tell you how close we are to these things that they're trying to bring into our nation and our earth. There is an aggressive attack on the kingdom of God. And if we as believers in Jesus Christ do not recognize that, we are going to fall prey to the enemy. We must rise up and recognize. And I'm not talking about standing up and bearing arms and fighting a physical fight. I'm talking about getting serious about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, getting on our knees and praying and asking God to move in the spirit realm. What did Daniel do in his day? He didn't try to fight the physical battle. He fought on his knees, and God intervened. That's what we need. That's what we need in this nation. That's what we need in this world. Listen to what Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 says. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. Wow. That doesn't sound like a bunch of pacifists, does it? Sounds like we're supposed to be doing something for the kingdom of God. The third thing that I talked about, and that is, and we're going to pick up where we left off, that is, you must become a prepper. I talked a little bit about that. We're all preppers. We prepare. We have insurance. We have savings. We prepare for things that might come along that we don't, you know, we don't know exactly what might happen. We expect the best, but we try to prepare for the future. So we are all preppers. And from a spiritual perspective, I want us to be prepared. I want you to be a spiritual prepper. Be ready for whatever comes along. Prepping to walk in victory begins with having the right equipment. And that's what we're starting to talk about, is having the right equipment. My brothers, Kevin and Steve, both worked in some of the plants around the area removing asbestos. And when they did that, they had to have oxygen tanks. They had to have proper clothing. They had to work inside a containment area. And anytime they went outside of that containment area, they had to take their clothes off, take their outer garments off and decontaminate. And before they went out to go to the bathroom or eat, whatever. It was a long process. But they had to have the right equipment on. And you see, if we're going to fight the battle, we better have the right equipment. God has given us the necessary equipment. The weapons of our warfare, I've already quoted this, are not carnal, but they're mighty in God to pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations. And every high thing is that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Paul gives us an incredible list of proper attire. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 through 18. I'm not going to read that this week. I read it last week. But we will look at the items that he gives us, the proper battle equipment that we need to have. First of all, it's a belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, shoes of peace, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. And there's one more very important weapon that we sometimes overlook, and In warfare, communication is extremely important. Communicating with the soldiers in the battle. And we have the best possible communication equipment available to mankind today. It's called prayer. So we'll be talking about the spiritual, the supernatural communication that we have, prayer. So the first thing we talked about was the belt of truth. The Roman soldier would wear a belt around his waist. It would be the basis for carrying a few items. But the main thing was that the belt of truth identified the soldier as a soldier. It identified him for what rank he was and what platoon he belonged to and what legion he was in. It identified him for who he was. Anybody who looked at him knew he was a soldier, and he wore that belt not only when he was dressed in his military attire, but he wore that belt all the time because he was proud of who he was, proud of being a soldier in the military. People look at us, they should see the mark of Jesus Christ on us. Amen? And we should be proud of that. We should be identified with that. Okay, today we're going to talk about the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate, the word here in Greek is thorax. It means breastplate. It consists of two parts. It was the front part, of which covered the whole region of the thorax area or the breast area, and the back extended down below the belt. The breastplate protected the vital organs in the soldier, and especially the heart. And I believe that's what Paul is referring to here when he's talking about the breastplate. He's talking about protecting the heart. The breastplate was good for that. So what is the heart? So we need to look at that first and try to distinguish what the heart is, because the Bible is full of references to the heart. In Exodus chapter 8, verse 32, it says, "But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go." Now, we know the story about Pharaoh hardening his heart and Moses leading the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and he hardened his heart time and time again. What does it mean to harden your heart? Well, the Hebrew word here is lav, and it means inner man, mind, will, understanding. It is what we would refer to, probably rendered in the New Testament, our understanding of, would be not only the heart, but the soul realm. The mind, the will, and the emotions of a person. You see, we know that we're a triune being. We have a spirit man that has a soul that lives in a body. And this body is going to deteriorate one day. It's going to perish. But we're going to live on. The spirit and soul live on. It's alive. You have consciousness, and it will continue to have consciousness. That's why it's so important that we reach people for Jesus Christ, because consciousness outside of Jesus Christ will mean eternal damnation. We don't want that for anybody. We want all to come to the goodness and the understanding of the glory of God through his son, Jesus Christ. The soul realm is the decision-making part of us. The ability to know and to understand. The ability to determine. The ability to make choices. And we all sometimes make the wrong choices. But thank God for his grace. Amen. In Matthew, Jesus scolds the Pharisees for the appearance of what he calls the appearance of righteousness. In Matthew 28, verse 23, verse 28. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So the thing that is important for us to understand is this breastplate of righteousness we have. It covers the heart. And in the heart is where the importance of being righteous is, because it has nothing to do with what you appear to be. It has to do what is in your heart. Who are you really? And Jesus Christ came to make some changes in our heart. Another scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 27. God tells his people what happens to them when they begin to live in an unrighteous manner. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood, stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But listen to this. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. Two words being used here. The Hebrew word for heart, levev, it's a form of that first word that I mentioned. It means inner man, it means mind, it means will, heart, soul, understanding. And the word that is rendered soul is nephesh. It means self, life, creature, person, appetite, mind, living, being, desire, emotions, passions. The two words actually overlap with each other. What we realize is that he's talking about the fullness of your being. When you come to the place where you are seeking God with all your being, you'll find him. You will find your God. You will recognize that he is calling you to a relationship. As these two words overlap, it calls us to an understanding that God is telling his people, when we begin to recognize the importance of our relationship with him, he's always recognized the importance. But when we begin to recognize that importance, then we will find him. Righteousness is a heart condition. It's not an outward appearance. It's not something that you can manifest in your life just by dressing properly, just by acting a certain way, just by doing certain things, just by following certain rules. It's an inward heart condition. Now, some of these other things that are manifest in your life, you know, things that I just talked about, that is a part of righteousness, because you have a heart change, you have a life change. It's all about the heart change, though. Let's look at Ephesians 6:14 again. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. As you can see, there's an action required by us. We have to do something. Yeah, let's put it on. So there's two things that I want to share with you this morning before I wrap this message up. And I want to point out about righteousness and protecting our heart. First of all, a righteous heart is a gift from God. You can't do anything about it. He can. He can create righteousness in your heart. Romans 3:20-24. If you have your Bible, you can look that up. You have a device. But it says this. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all, on all who believe, that there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's a classic scripture that we use a lot. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. We all need a Savior. We all need a heart change. We all need that righteousness imparted to us. being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are justified just as if we have never sinned, redeeming us from the curse that was put upon mankind by Adam and Eve. Because of the grace of God, you are justified by believing and confessing Jesus as your personal Savior, which he redeems us, or he saves us. He saves us from what? The wrath of God, hell, that he promised us that he would save us from. He makes you a righteous person, or having righteousness means, literally means, right standing with God. God does that for us. He places the righteousness in our heart. There's only one way to become righteous before Almighty God, and that is through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what makes us, causes us to have right standing with God. We are righteous because of the blood of Jesus. Our right standing with Almighty God is based on what Jesus did, not what we do. Almost 6,000 years before Jesus walked on the face of the earth, Ezekiel said this in chapter 26, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. That was a prophecy of what Jesus is going to do for all mankind who would receive him as their Savior. Take out the stony heart. Put in a fleshly heart. Give us the righteousness we didn't deserve. But because of the grace of God, he caused us to be righteous. You have a righteous heart if you know Jesus as your personal Savior. That puts you in a position to be able to fight this battle from a position of victory. Never defeat. Always victory. Max Lucado, in his book, In the Grip of Grace, he tells a story about a prison in Brazil and Charles Colson visiting that prison. For over 20 years, the government allowed two Christians to run the prison. The prison is called Humata, and it runs on Christian principles. It only has two employees, full-time employees, that are there to do different odd jobs and things. Otherwise, it's run by the inmates. Families outside the prison adopt an inmate to work with them during and then after their term. Chuck Colson tells this story about visiting that prison. When I visited, I found inmates smiling, particularly the murderer who held the keys, opened the gates, and let me in. Wherever I walked, I saw men at peace. I saw clean living areas, people working industriously. The walls were decorated with biblical sayings from the Psalms and Proverbs. My guide escorted me to a notorious prison cell once used for torture. Today, he told me, that block houses only a single inmate. As we reached the end of a long concrete corridor and he put the key in the lock, he paused and asked, "Are you sure you really want to go in here?" "Of course," I replied. This is Chuck Colson. "I've been in isolation cells all over the world. I'm not afraid to go in." Slowly, he swung open the massive doors, and I saw the prison in that punishment cell, the prisoner in that punishment cell. It was a crucifixion built by the inmates. The prisoner's name was Jesus hanging on the cross. The inmate said to me softly, "He's doing time for the rest of us." What a great story. Look what Jesus Christ can do, even in a prison. You know, this reminds me of what God did through Joseph when he was in the prison. He did miraculous things. When God's love, compassion, and righteousness are imparted to people's lives, miraculous things can take place. Now, we've established the fact that righteousness is a heart condition. Only Jesus can change the heart. Only. Can't do it on your own. Only Jesus. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Believe that He died on the cross. He came back to life on the third day. That He died for your sins. That you are a sinner and you need a Savior. So our righteousness is a free gift from Jesus Christ. It's part of our salvation. But I would say this to you. The breastplate of righteousness that Paul is talking about, I believe, is not the righteousness that God imparts to us. I believe it's something else. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, it says, "Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. For if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him." Righteous, the Greek word is, in a wide sense, means to be upright, righteous, virtuous, keeping the commands of God. It means integrity, virtue, purity of life, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. I would submit to you this morning, and you know, you think about this, but I would submit that this breastplate of righteousness that Paul is talking about, in my humble opinion, is not the righteousness that Jesus secured for us, because armor is for battle. We have to understand that what the righteousness, this breastplate of righteousness that is given to us, is for our protection in battle. The enemy's already lost the salvation issue. It's done. It's over. We win. We're victorious. The Roman soldier didn't put on a breastplate to make him a soldier. He put on a breastplate to protect him in battle. He was already a soldier. He was a soldier in his heart before he ever put on the armor. And he was ready to fight the battle. He was called. He's equipped. He, a Roman soldier, had committed his life because he believed in the Roman government. Now, particularly in the early days of the Republic. Now, whether you realize it or not, Rome was not always an empire. Rome was a republic, something similar to the United States, not quite, but similar to that. And in the early days of the Republic, and it went on for about 500 years, people, the Roman citizens, were part of the army. And people were sold out to the Roman cause. And they believed in their country, and they believed in their cause. So when they became soldiers, it had nothing to do with the armor. It had to do with their heart's desire to serve. The soldier was a soldier in his heart. We are soldiers for the cross in our heart. Men and women who believe in Jesus Christ have that righteous, right standing with God. But this breastplate was intended to protect the heart, protect the vital organs, particularly our heart. I believe the breastplate that Paul is talking about is righteous behavior. You're supposed to pick up that breastplate every day with righteous behavior. Walking righteously before God in right standing. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It means that you're striving for perfection each and every day. It means you're striving to be the kind of person that Jesus died for on the cross to make you. It means that you become a person who desires to build the kingdom of God above all else in your life. The enemy can't take your salvation away from you. But if he can get you to compromise your moral, your biblical morality or ethics. He can weaken your position as a witness for him, for Jesus Christ. He'll diminish your effect in the kingdom of God. And that's why it's very important that we pick up this breastplate of righteousness every day. We protect our heart. Protect yourself from all the things that are going on in this world. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you take in. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you participate in. Your breastplate of righteousness will protect your heart and keep you from being involved in the things of this world. It'll cause you to be a true soldier of the cross. Guard your heart every day. Be careful. The breastplate of righteousness will keep you exactly where you need to be. We all know that people have been compromised. Leaders have been compromised in the body of Christ. And there's been some recently. There has been many high-profile leaders in Christianity that have denied their faith in Jesus Christ. Worship leaders, young people, trying to remember some of the names right off the top of my head. Matthew Harris, was it Harris, the wrote the book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. Joshua, okay, yes, thank you. He denied faith in Jesus Christ, he and his wife both. Now they're divorced. I'm not sure whether he considers himself a homosexual or not, but he has showed up at gay pride events. He's denied the Savior, Jesus. He's not the only one. There's many. People have compromised, but sometimes people have made mistakes and compromised their faith. They've let their breastplate of righteousness down, and it's hurt a lot of people. People are wounded because of these things. Now, one that I remember very well took place back in the 1980s. Jimmy Swaggart was a very powerful Assemblies of God televangelist, an incredible preacher and teacher of the Word of God. He had one of the largest Assemblies of God churches. He had one of the most influential ministries of its day. But in 1988, he had a moral failing involving prostitution. He was deflocked by the denomination, but he refused to step down, and he continued pastoring. Today, the Jimmy Swaggart ministry is still going on. His son and grandson do much of the preaching. But I can tell you this about Jimmy Swaggart ministry. He lost the influence that he once had. The enemy effectively took him out of the way, diminished his ability to stand because he let down his breastplate of righteousness. I'm not going to condemn him because we're all human beings. But I can tell you when these things happen, it affects a lot of people. It hurts a lot of people. We have to keep our breastplate in place. It will protect your heart. Protect your heart. It'll protect my heart. But it's a daily task to pick up that breastplate of righteousness and put it on. Isaiah 54:17, I'm going to finish with this, says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. The thing that I want to point out here, it says that every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemned. The NIV puts it this way, and you shall refute every tongue that accuses you. The connotation here is that you're not going to curse people. The connotation is that your behavior will prove them wrong. They'll be ashamed of what they're saying about you because you keep that breastplate of righteousness in place. Interesting thing about Daniel in his day, those who wanted to see him thrown to the lions could not find anything in his life that they could accuse him of. The only thing they knew that they could accuse him of was his worship of his God. They knew they could get him there. But otherwise, his life was well lived. That's a great example for us. A well-lived life that wears that breastplate of righteousness every day, protecting our heart, keeping us walking in the integrity, the virtue, and the power of God. Stand with me. We're going to finish this up. There's a Chinese proverb that says this, and I believe it is true. If there is righteousness in the heart, there will be beauty in the character. If there is beauty in the character, there will be harmony in the home. If there is harmony in a home, there will be order in the nation. If there is order in the nation, there will be peace in the world. Wow. It filters down. It actually filters up. I guess it comes from individuals up into society. That's why it's so important that we continue reaching people for Jesus Christ. I've heard some great stories from the people of this congregation sharing their faith with just people on an everyday basis, praying for people, sharing the word of God with people, telling people about Jesus, calling people to the kingdom of God. Incredible. Just being, you know, just using the word of your testimony. We've got to continue doing that. Got to continue reaching people and looking for opportunities every day. People are dying. People are going to hell. We have the answer for them. The answer is Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Bow your head with me this morning. We're going to pray. Father God, my desire is that people will hear this message. And they'll know that you have made a way. You have called everyone into your kingdom, but not everybody responds to it. So, Father God, those who do respond, come into your kingdom and receive you and all the goodness that you have for them. They walk in the righteousness that you provide for them. They're protected by you, Almighty God, our Father. Today, Father God, we just want to make sure that everyone's heart is right with you. And I would say this to you this morning. If there is anybody in here that has never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and you'd like to do that, you know you're a sinner and you need to be saved by the grace of God, just raise your hand and I will pray with you. Hallelujah. I want no one to go to hell. I want all to be saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If that's you, you're viewing us for the first time online, you need to make Christ your personal Savior. Pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he came back to life on the third day. I believe he defeated death and hell, and I receive him as my Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with us this morning, let me know. We want to help you in your walk as a new believer in Jesus Christ. thank you for watching with us today. We appreciate you. And at this time, we're going to discontinue our streaming service and minister to the people here in this congregation.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.